The Texas Attorney General immediately warned doctors not to perform the procedure on 31-year-old Kate Cox, a mother of two from the Dallas area. Ken Paxton also moved quickly in the courts,
asking the Supreme Court to block it immediately. He also sent a letter warning that he could prosecute any doctors who agreed to perform the abortion.
Nicole Baker with CBS News, Texas.
Cox says her doctors told her her baby may not live longer than a week once born, and that her pregnancy complications could prevent her from having children in the future.
In Las Vegas, UNLV President Keith Whitfield praises the first responders who helped save lives during the mass shooting there earlier this week that left three faculty members dead.
These men and women were going into harm's way, not away from harm's way. They made a difference in how this tragedy was handled.
UNLV is canceling in-person final exams with students finishing the fall semester with the grade that they had before the attack unless they take a virtual exam to improve it. An obituary of note from Hollywood, from TV and film of the 1960s and 70s.
Long before he was a movie star, Ryan O'Neal was already a heartthrob.
Taxi lady!
His role on the TV soap opera Peyton Place was his breakthrough, along with fellow newcomer Mia Farrow.
They're made in your way is my way. Didn't you know that?
But it was the huge success of Love Story in 1970 that made him a Hollywood heavyweight with a nomination for an Academy Award.
Then don't leave me, Jenny.
In 1972, he starred with Barbara Streisand in the comedy What's Up, Doc?
You see, I just came in here for something for a headache.
You're gonna need an awful big glass of water to get that down.
And the next year came Paper Moon, which brought an Oscar for his daughter, Tatum.
CBS's Michael George. The Biden administration is making big infrastructure investment in improving America's rail service, specifically high-speed electric trains. Experts telling CBS transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve it should be ready for service on the West Coast by the 2028 Olympics in L.A.
Grants will also fund improvements, cutting 90 minutes off the trip from Raleigh, North Carolina, to Richmond, Virginia.
Corridors, as we build them out, will naturally attract people out of their cars.
A fast train future that could soon leave the station.
The U.S. has vetoed a U.N. resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, despite most of the rest of the world being in favor of it. And nearly 2 years into his war in Ukraine and 2 decades into his rule of Russia, Vladimir Putin is running again to keep on running Russia. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
This is the story of...
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. A late Friday night ruling from the Texas Supreme Court puts on hold a lower court order issued a day before that would have allowed one specific Texas woman to have an abortion because of a serious medical issue, despite that state's tight ban. The Texas Attorney General immediately warned doctors not to perform the procedure on 31-year-old Kate Cox, a mother of two from the Dallas area. Ken Paxton also moved quickly in the courts,
asking the Supreme Court to block it immediately. He also sent a letter warning that he could prosecute any doctors who agreed to perform the abortion.
Nicole Baker with CBS News, Texas.
Cox says her doctors told her baby may not live longer than a week once born, and that her pregnancy complications could prevent her from having children in the future.
In Las Vegas, UNLV President Keith Whitfield praises the first responders who helped save lives during the mass shooting there earlier this week that left three faculty members dead.
These men and women were going into harm's way, not away from harm's way. They made a difference in how this tragedy was handled.
UNLV is canceling in-person final exams with students finishing the fall semester with the grade that they had before the attack unless they take a virtual exam to improve it. An obituary of note from Hollywood, from TV and film of the 1960s and 70s.
Long before he was a movie star, Ryan O'Neill was already a heartthrob.
Taxi lady!
His role on the TV soap opera Peyton Place was his breakthrough, along with fellow newcomer Mia Farrow.
Now, made in your way is my way. Didn't you know that?
But it was the huge success of Love Story in 1970 that made him a Hollywood heavyweight with a nomination for an Academy Award.
Then don't leave me, Jenny.
In 1972, he starred with Barbara Streisand in the comedy What's Up, Doc?
You see, I just came in here for something for a headache.
You're gonna need an awful big glass of water to get that down.
And the next year came Paper Moon, which brought an Oscar for his daughter, Tatum.
CBS's Michael George. The Biden administration is making big infrastructure investment in improving America's rail service, specifically high-speed electric trains. Experts telling CBS transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve it should be ready for service on the West Coast by the 2028 Olympics in L.A.
Grants will also fund improvements, cutting 90 minutes off the trip from Raleigh, North Carolina, to Richmond, Virginia.
Corridors, as we build them out, will naturally attract people out of their cars.
A fast train future that could soon leave the station.
The U.S. has vetoed a U.N. resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, despite most of the rest of the world being in favor of it. And nearly 2 years into his war in Ukraine and 2 decades into his rule of Russia, Vladimir Putin is running again to keep on running Russia. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is the story of the
thing. RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Fodi. A late Friday night ruling from the Texas Supreme Court puts on hold a lower court order issued a day before that would have allowed one specific Texas woman to have an abortion because of a serious medical issue, despite that state's tight ban. The Texas Attorney General immediately warned doctors not to perform the procedure on 31-year-old Kate Cox, a mother of two from the Dallas area. Ken Paxton also moved quickly in the courts,
asking the Supreme Court to block it immediately. He also sent a letter warning that he could prosecute any doctors who agreed to perform the abortion.
Nicole Baker with CBS News, Texas.
Cox says her doctors told her baby may not live longer than a week once born, and that her pregnancy complications could prevent her from having children in the future.
In Las Vegas, UNLV President Keith Whitfield praises the first responders who helped save lives during the mass shooting there earlier this week that left three faculty members dead.
These men and women were going into harm's way, not away from harm's way. They made a difference in how this tragedy was handled.
UNLV is canceling in-person final exams with students finishing the fall semester with the grade that they had before the attack unless they take a virtual exam to improve it. An obituary of note from Hollywood, from TV and film of the 1960s and 70s.
Long before he was a movie star, Ryan O'Neill was already a heartthrob.
Taxi lady!
His role on the TV soap opera Peyton Place was his breakthrough, along with fellow newcomer Mia Farrow.
They're made in your way is my way, didn't you know that?
But it was the huge success of Love Story in 1970 that made him a Hollywood heavyweight with a nomination for an Academy Award.
Then don't leave me, Jenny.
In 1972, he starred with Barbara Streisand in the comedy What's Up, Doc?
You see, I just came in here for something for a headache.
You're gonna need an awful big glass of water to get that down.
And the next year came Paper Moon, which brought an Oscar for his daughter, Tatum.
CBS's Michael George. The Biden administration is making big infrastructure investment in improving America's rail service, specifically high-speed electric trains. Experts telling CBS transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve it should be ready for service on the West Coast by the 2028 Olympics in L.A.
Grants will also fund improvements, cutting 90 minutes off the trip from Raleigh, North Carolina, to Richmond, Virginia.
Corridors, as we build them out, will naturally attract people out of their cars.
A fast train future that could soon leave the station.
The U.S. has vetoed a U.N. resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, despite most of the rest of the world being in favor of it. And nearly 2 years into his war in Ukraine and 2 decades into his rule of Russia, Vladimir Putin is running again to keep on running Russia. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is the story of...
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Cannot wait to celebrate Josh Call Day. CNN continues. Cheeseborough also recently testified to a grand jury in Nevada where indictments against 6 fake electors were announced Wednesday by state prosecutors. Additionally, Cheeseborough has been in contact with prosecutors in Arizona where he plans to sit for an interview as part of the state's ongoing investigation into fake electors. CNN previously identified Cheeseborough as an unindicted co-conspirator in special counsel Jack Smith's federal indictment against Trump, where the former president is charged with organizing the faked elector scheme to disenfranchise millions of voters and unlawfully remain in power. There's no indication Cheeseborough is cooperating in the federal probe or that Smith has ruled out charges against him. And there you go. Wisconsin Attorney General office declined to comment, as did Cheeseborough's lawyer.
I'm still taking a little heart out of this story, Dom.
Oh, man.
It raises my optimism. The glass is half full today, Dom. Half full, I tell you.
Well, it's certainly encouraging, and I hope this is the case. There's a lot there. They basically said it. Now, they didn't admit any guilt, right? We won't do it again. And
you're talking about
the
civil case that was just decided. We had Jeff Mandel from Law Forward on just, 2 days ago, Dom. Yeah. And if you missed that fine interview, it's going to make a fine best of this weekend. Tune in. I think we play out at 5 o'clock on both Saturday and Sunday afternoons.
Law Forward, man, they're very busy people these days. But in that case, as you mentioned, Crudy, they said, yeah, we did it. We did it to overturn the election and we won't do it again. But there's, you know, they didn't pay any there's no money being exchanged. They did withdraw the fraudulent documents. That's good. I guess first time that's happened. So Josh Call, man, you know, we've been critical, but you know, trying not to be too critical, because just in case something like this came up, maybe, just maybe, there's something going on behind the scenes, and apparently that might be the case, at least an investigation. So yeah, how about some indictments? That'd be good. Some subpoenas, perhaps. That's fine. We'll get a start.
Let's celebrate Josh Call Day up in here, around here, damn soon. To be continued. Let's hope. Dom, I want to get to a differing piece. Part of the reason why we've invited Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin, on. You know, this might come as a shocker to you, Dom, but Wisconsin will be a pivotal, one of the few pivotal swing states in the next election year.
Yeah.
And for those of us that make our living in this crazy field of politics, guys like you and I and Ben Wickler, well, you know, it's going to be a fun and crazy year, Dom. A little bit from the body of the work here at the Washington Post. Here's what I found interesting, Dom. Just a few of us get to decide. The Washington Post analysis found that just 1 in 4 Americans lived in such areas in 2020. 1 in 4 live in areas that actually matter during a presidential election. Your vote actually could affect the electoral college outcome. Just 1 in 4 voters. That was in 2020. Down from roughly 3 in 4 in an earlier period. If the major parties do not contest Florida in 2024, as is widely expected, only 18% of Americans will live in a battleground. Lucky us. The largest, the targeted voters in the decisive states should expect a barrage of communications on their phone, in the mail, from their friends, family, and colleagues, over radio, from the Washington Post lips to God's ears, television, streaming services, and social media networks. The rest of the country's citizens will find themselves on the sidelines watching the news or the occasional live candidate event with a diminished voice in their own futures. Their vote will still count, but is unlikely to decide anything. It's now getting to the point where you're probably talking about 400,000 people in 3 or 4 states. That's what it's getting down to, said Joe Trippi, a Democratic strategist who's worked on presidential campaigns since Don was just a wee lad. It does mean that more and more people feel they don't have a say. They don't have a say, Dom. The geographic sort of Americans along partisan lines helps explain why most of the country resides in a red or a blue state where the outcome of the two-party race is not in doubt. If a candidate wins California by 1 vote or 1 million votes, the electoral college outcome is the same, giving candidates no incentive to campaign in places where the outcome can be predicted. 33 states, including giants such as California, New York, and Texas, have voted for the same party in each presidential election dating back to 2000. So, Dom, that means there's only certain states that really matter. And Wisconsin is one of those states. Let's jump forward to some of the battleground states. States like the state of Wisconsin. Dom, you got some of the quotes here.
Yeah, Ben Wickler, our guest at 4:30, he's quoted in the Washington Post, he's the Democratic Party chair in Wisconsin, said he begins with the assumption that both major parties in his state will get 48% of the vote, though the identity of those voters changes from cycle to cycle depending on turnout. Here's his quote. We look for inconsistent voters who will probably vote for a Democrat if they vote, and then we look at ticket splitter or swing voters. At the Biden campaign, the early betting is that the outcome of next year's election will again be very close, with the margin once again hinging on tens of thousands of votes in a few states. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton won 2016 popular vote by 2.9 million votes, or 2%, could have won the Electoral College if about 80,000 people in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin voted differently. In 2020, about 45,000 votes in Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin could have changed the outcome of the race, even though Joe Biden won the popular vote by more than 7 million. Let's see. Those states are very familiar. They've been in the news lately, right? Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, fraudulent electors, right? You hear what I'm saying? I'm seeing a throughput here, man. This seems very familiar to me.
If you could just find me 11,780 votes, one more than I need, right?
Yes.
Earlier this week, we saw the false electors, I would say the criminally false electors here in the state of Wisconsin, settle a civil lawsuit where they accepted the fact that Joe Biden won the election in 2020. Dom, I thought it was a nice step forward for history's sake. Are you freaking kidding me? You know, it is coming crashing down soon, but as I do the electoral math, Donald Trump will still probably be the Republican nominee before any conviction comes at trial. I don't see any math that's going to keep him from being the Republican nominee. Come back. We got a fine sponsor, a friend, a guest. He is Alan Robinson from Herbal Aspect and Ben Wickler, Democratic Party chair, coming very soon.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us, click on the show's tabs, and listen to the Devil's Advocates.
Dominic, I've got a fine guest, a paid sponsor. He's our friend, Alan Robinson from Herbal Aspect. He's in the Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios. And Alan, first of all, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I understand tomorrow.
Alan. What's up, Dom?
Marks an enormous occasion in your cannabis educating of the people.
Yeah, man.
Tomorrow is graduation day. Who's graduating from what?
First off, I'm super excited about it. I'll tell you what. So quick here, shout out to Brandy Grayson and Urban Triage for their amazing partnership in getting us this cannabis agriculture and business development class.
And if you're unaware, she does the show Black Convergence right here on WMDX on Thursday nights. I listened to some of it last night in the car.
Yeah, Brandy has a lot to say. That said, tomorrow we're going to be graduating six incredible students. These folks have been growing their own cannabis plants over the last 90 days, some outdoor. Then we transferred them to indoor. We got about 7 pounds of cannabis out of this class for their first little crop. I feel pretty proud of them for that. And they also have business plans and have developed products. So tomorrow, as their graduation, they're going to give us their pitches. You know, we have a group that is going to select whether or not, decide whether or not we're going to be able to invest in these products and potentially put them even on Herbal Aspect shelves.
So effectively, you're graduating entrepreneurs of sorts, and they've learned the art of cannabis cultivation in a legal and safe way.
Absolutely. Not only do they learn cannabis cultivation, but we taught them about the ethics of the cannabis space. We taught them about the history of the cannabis space.
I knew this guy in college had no cannabis ethics, man. What does that look like? Briefly, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what's that look like?
Yeah, man. Safe, responsible, ethical sales, educating your customers, ensuring that your products are safe, tested, and that they have the efficacy that you say that they will, right? And then also there's the brand building. There's so much that goes into running a business that most people just don't understand, right? So setting up your LLC or how you're going to operate your business, picking a name, deciding on your branding, figuring out how much your acquisition costs are, and then your conversion costs, and finally your end retail product. There's just so much that goes into it.
It's starting to sound like math on the radio, man.
It sounds like work, man.
Yeah, Dom, I've had a lot less cannabis today.
Folks, we are talking with our friend and fine sponsor. He is Alan Robinson with Herbal Aspect. They give us some 420 facts each Friday afternoon. They are graduating their first class. Young entrepreneurs learning this cannabis culture from the inside, from the expert. And Alan, you're a cannabis entrepreneur, man. Herbal Aspect. You guys still doing the expert treatment? You know, still teaching the people about the cannabis? Because first and foremost, we should say this is the legal FDA-approved state law-approved, federal law-approved cannabis. Mm-hmm. It's all safe and legal here. But it's not all the same, and people need to learn if they want to know what they're consuming. And you're the guy.
Yeah, man, I'm the guy. I'll tell you what, real quick here, we were just featured in Blueprint 365. Shout out to Rob Chappelle, you know, the Madison 365 guys. One of the things that we strive for is educating our customer. Rob was able to highlight that really well in the article. And of course, that's why I'm here on your show, Crudy, to invite the people to get a free cannabis consultation. Your listeners, excuse me. Log
we
on.
We like to think of them as friends and CJ.
Oh, word. And CJ?
Okay. If he took some cannabis, he might chill out. He might be the ideal candidate to come visit.
CJ, you should go to herbalaspect.com. You should sign up for a cannabis consultation. Use the code word Devil Radio. We'll get you that consultation at no cost. And then we can find the right cannabinoid profile to help to mellow you out.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our friend and sponsor, Alan Robinson from Herbal Aspects. Alan, really interesting to hear about this graduating community, this class. This is really cool stuff, and I wish I'd have known this 30 years ago. But one of the things I'm curious about in the manufacture and distribution and selling of the product is the testing portion. I mean, one of the things I love about going to Illinois, all the many states, Michigan, and soon to be Minnesota, you walk in, you get something off the shelf, it's got a sticker on it, and it tells you everything that's in it. It's got a check mark. Does it have mold? You know, they test these things. So when the product is ready, how do you test it?
Yeah,
send it out somewhere? How does all that work out?
Yeah, so there's DEA certified labs that you can partner with to send a sample to. Right now, I was actually just talking with an advocate earlier this week, Bob from Let's Legalize Wisconsin, I think is his name, Bob Hickey. And, you know, he's got a program right now where he's going into different shops and is selecting samples to be sent off for testing to ensure that those tests that they are putting forward are actually those same results. So what you got to do is you got to go to a DEA certified lab and send them samples, right? And of course, your manufacturing partners or ours do also have those partnerships, and we have then validated those partnerships so we can get the heavy metal remediation, which we have like a new round of those coming up. We do them annually, semi-annually, and with different batches.
You know, we have a question from the audience. Humbly speaking, I think you, Alan, are missing a huge part of the market, those of us who have dogs. What's your thought? The canine consumption of the cannabis.
I will tell you right now, Coco's Cannabiscuits are on the way. Many of you, some of you don't know, but I will tell you this.
You've got the greatest, coolest dog of all time.
Oh, yeah, man.
Is cannabis the secret?
So Coco is super mellow, especially for a Frenchie. She does a lot of the sleeping. That is because we do supplement her diet with a little bit of CBD. I will tell you this. Our full line is coming. We do have pet CBD currently available. I am not a vet. And so part of the reason that we've been waiting on rolling that line out is so that we can have actual veterinarians collaborate with us in regards to building that out.
Well, one of the humans in the audience, Cindy from Wausau, shout out. Hey, Alan, the cannabis helps my CRPS and fibromyalgia pain. Thank you again. Keep it up. She said, you keep up the great work, and thank you for the continued education.
Oh, blessings.
The 420 facts, man.
Yeah, man. It's going down.
He's Alan Robinson. He is with Herbal Aspect, one of our fine sponsors, one of our partners here at Devil Radio. And what's that graduation party going to look like tomorrow?
It's going to be stony. No, it's going to be cool. We've got some hors d'oeuvres. We got some guest speakers. Senator Agard is going to be giving a graduating address. It's going to be a good time, man. I'm excited.
Now, will the diplomas be printed on
hemp paper?
Yes.
No, we're not. Not getting hemp card stock. That's just a little bit, you know. But they will be green, so that's cool.
They will be green. Always is up in here. Appreciate it. Alan Robinson, our friend and sponsor partner over at the Herbal Aspect, herbalaspect.com. Learn it up for free. Just use the code DEVILRADIO. Thank you, Ellen. Coming next, we got Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. You're going to want to stick around.
Thanks, Ellen. Yeah, yeah, and I will
advertise it. 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. As of now, that Texas woman who had been cleared by a state judge to receive an abortion for medical reasons cannot get it, at least not in Texas, as the state Supreme Court puts the lower court order on hold.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sent a letter warning doctors against that order, asking the Supreme Court to block it immediately. He also sent a letter warning that he could prosecute any doctors who agreed to perform the abortion.
Nicole Baker of CBS News, Texas. In Las Vegas on a previous scheduled stop, but just after the nation's latest mass shooting, President Biden says,
"Look, I'm not going to rest till we do all we can to prevent more families and more communities from being torn apart by gun violence."
Three faculty members died in the shooting at UNLV. Ryan O'Neal became a major movie star of the 1970s with the huge hit Love Story.
Jenny, I'm sorry.
Don't. Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Ryan O'Neal has died at the age of 82. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The amount of underage cigarette and vape sales in Wisconsin has more than doubled since 2019. That's according to the University of Wisconsin Survey Center, which sent underage customers to over 1,000 random retailers across the state. Around 13% of stores sold nicotine products to the underage customers. While federal law raised the minimum age to purchase tobacco in 2019, Wisconsin law has not, leaving some retailers confused about who they can and cannot sell to. While cigarette use has gone down in teens, vaping use has gone up. A new proposal would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana in Wisconsin. The bill would carry no jail time and drop fines to as low as $100. It would also give law enforcement more flexibility on a case-by-case basis. So far, the response among lawmakers has been mixed. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. Cloudy with scattered snow showers tomorrow and a strong wind. We could see a dusting by tomorrow night. Temps steady to slowly falling in the 30s. Sunny and a high in the low 30s Sunday. And more sun for Monday, a high to the mid 30s. Currently it's 37.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org.
brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Freaky Friday edition, getting better right now. First and foremost, thank you to our friend and sponsor, Alan Robinson, Herbal Aspect, for the 420 Facts. And Dom, we welcome back the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. Right now, he is Ben Wickler. I'd like to think you're a friend as well, Ben. Thanks for answering the call. We've got a little bit of an echo.
Feedback.
All right. Let's try again. Ben, welcome to the show. First and foremost, I believe the perhaps unbeatable Tammy Baldwin might have an opponent in Eric Hoadvee. Tell us about Laguna Eric.
You know, when someone is voted one of Orange County, California's most influential citizens, not once, but 2 years in a row, you know they are all set to run for United States Senate from the state of Wisconsin. This is a Tim Michaels kind of experience. This is someone who runs a big bank. You know how Wisconsin voters are just really excited about that as what they're looking for in California. He lost a Senate primary to Tommy Thompson in 2012, to the guy who lost to Tammy Baldwin in 2012. Now he wants to run because I guess he thinks that his message of eliminating the Affordable Care Act and banning abortion and cutting Social Security is going to be a big hit with Wisconsin voters in 2024, which, you know, it's amusing to think that that's a selling proposition. But the other side of the coin is he has a lot of money from that bank and all his other businesses. And we've seen this playbook work out with people like Ron Johnson, who announced late and then buy a bazillion ads trying to paint a picture of themselves that's misleading. And if the Democratic candidates don't have the resources to punch back fully and define what the race is about, it can get really hairy. So we don't want to sleep on this race. And I want everyone to know that Tammy Baldwin, landslide Tammy, who won by so much in 2018, she will need our help to ensure that she can put this race to bed. And her election is necessary to the Senate majority. If we win, then her Women's Health Protection Act, putting the protections of Roe versus Wade into law, that could actually have a shot at passing, especially if we win the House. If she loses, Republicans have been talking about a national abortion ban. Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House, that's what he wants. So the stakes are really high for things that affect people really directly. Even if you've never heard of Eric Hovde, get ready to go out and organize your way to defeating him.
Ben Wickler, the only reason I knew Eric Hovde was running for U.S. Senate is because somebody got in front of the candidate. He's got a very pretty logoed sign that's been on the highway in Washura County for about 3 months now. And that's not like a farmer side of the barn thing. So I knew the candidate, or at least I knew this guy was going to run for U.S. Senate, but I didn't know the policies. And Ben, this guy has got a litany of bad policies. He's on the wrong side of every aspect of history, at least historically with his advocacies. You're right, man. Anti-abortion, anti-Social Security. What is this guy for exactly that we would stand for? That we could say, well, there's a moderate stance. I don't see many in his resume.
I don't know either, man. I mean, this is a far-right Republican who's really kind of from the plutocratic wing of the Republican Party. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Tammy Baldwin famously wrote this proposal in the Affordable Care Act that ensures that young people can stay on their parents' health insurance until age 26. This is like incredibly popular, like 80-something percent support. Even Republicans recognize this is the kind of thing you should keep in the law. When Hovde ran for Senate last time, he was asked about that specific provision, and his answer was to start talking about how in his day, young people stood on their own two feet. I mean, come on, man. Like, if jobs for, you know, young people aren't offering health insurance, why not let them stay on their parents' insurance? But he wants the independents pull them up by their own bootstraps. Things are falling in my office. I'm so incensed about this. He's like, those kids should own a bank so they can afford their own health insurance. And that's just not going to fly here.
You know, it's strange.
Spent too much time in Orange County.
It's strange. I watched the undercard presidential debate, and we saw a few of the excerpts of the Trump town hall earlier this week with Hannity, you know, when he declared himself a dictator on day one. But even the undercard debate, man, there was no moderates on the stage. When I look at the contenders, the top five, Trump plus the four also-rans, I wouldn't want to see any of them in the Oval Office. What was your impression of the debates in the Trumpian town hall?
I think you're really speaking to it exactly. It's like the whole Republican Party watched Trump in 2016 and then tuned out of the fact that he and his party lost in 18, 20, 2022, 2023. They're all just drinking MAGA Kool-Aid, and they're just running in this kind of like frenzied competition to see who can be even more extreme than the other ones. The people spouting conspiracy theories and just outright lies, and this stuff, you know, that cheese curd don't squeak, as I like to say. Like, this is just, it's just not what people are asking for in the state of Wisconsin. Maybe in South Carolina Republican presidential primary, but if they want to win the general election, this stuff is so out of right field. And I wish more people could tune in to see these Republicans laying out their agenda, because once you see it, it's hard to unsee.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Ben Wickler. He is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben, interesting article today in the Washington Post, kind of breaking down really how few people will really end up deciding what happens in the 2024 presidential race. Wisconsin, a very important state. Ben, here we are. Here we go again. What's your sense on how concentrated this is?
These elections are likely to be incredibly close. And, you know, it's easy to think back. We beat Trump by 7 million votes nationally in 2020, but almost all those votes could have been thrown out and it wouldn't have mattered. It came down, in fact, to 43,000 votes, or 45,000 votes, excuse me, across Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. And with 45,000 votes, that means if 23,000 votes had switched sides, then Trump would have won in those three states, in our state, and then in two other states. And just to zero in even more, we lose Arizona and Georgia, then Wisconsin by itself can determine the presidential election. We had the same thing in 2016. We were the tipping point state. You throw out the two states that were closer, Michigan and Pennsylvania. Wisconsin, again, was the tipping point that put Biden over the top, and about 12,000 people switching sides in Wisconsin in either of those years would have given Trump the presidency. And this is what we think about as we go into 2024. Like, we are the state of nail biters. We were probably the one of the three tightest states in 2024 again. The Republicans know it. They put their national convention here. Trump hired Ron Johnson's campaign manager, who just won by one percentage point, you know, last year in Ron Johnson's reelection campaign. He is like laser focused on our state. And the Biden and Harris campaigns know it too. It's going to be this giant epic clash. And that means that every voter, everyone listening right now, you and your friends and family, you have more power to shape the whether American democracy survives in 2024 than almost anyone has ever had in American history. It's a ridiculous way to run a democracy, but it's the way it is, and we've got to act accordingly.
Ben, if you read the headline and don't get into it and crunch the numbers and are not in perhaps one of those states like the state of Wisconsin, it will have an oversized influence on who becomes the next president. What would you say to the folks that say, well, it may count, but it doesn't matter? How do you get people motivated to vote in a state where, hell, you know, California, you know, probably going to go Dem, Florida, probably going to go Republican? You know, how do you keep people motivated to engage in the self-governance in some of those other kinds of states?
I'll say a couple things. First thing is, in New York and California, big blue states, House races flipped Republican in 2022 that gave Republicans control of the House. And now with George Santos out and probably a Democrat about to win an election there, you wind up with a 4-seat Republican House majority, which means any place there's a competitive House district, your vote matters an enormous amount to the entire country. There's two pretty red states, Montana and Ohio, where they have Senate elections in 2024. Those will be absolutely defining for the U.S. Senate majority. So that takes a few voters off the table. But across the rest of the country, you know, you can affect local offices. Those things really matter. Primaries can really matter. But you actually don't have much of a voice, and that is bad. I think that's a bad way to run a national election of national democracy. There's an idea called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which is basically a law that all these states pass, where they all agree that if enough states pass it in order to define who wins the presidential election, then all the states will agree to give their electoral college votes to whoever wins the national popular vote, which is kind of a long way of saying, if this bill passes in enough states, then whoever actually wins the election by getting the most votes for president will win the election and become president. That bill has passed in enough states. Once Michigan passes it, which is happening pretty soon, it'll have passed in enough states for 220 electoral college votes, which means it only has 50 left in about five states the size of Wisconsin, fewer if you get a bigger state, to actually become the law. And that could happen before 2028. So it is possible that this is the last election like this, where the electoral college is the central story of a national presidential election. I hope so. Because as much as I love Wisconsin being at the center of the action, and I think I trust Wisconsin voters to get this stuff right, I also think it is a total disgrace that voters in the rest of the country don't have as much voice as people here. We're supposed to be one person, one vote in this country.
Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. I only care about one state, Ben. Wisconsin, man. So
I'm with you, man.
Let's talk about the 48-48 math. Effectively, if I understood some of the quotes, I guess they weren't direct quotes, but you were referenced in the Washington Post saying effectively, it starts at about 48% Dems, 48% Republicans. So are we to believe there's only about 4% persuadable here in the state of Wisconsin? Or is it really more about getting out those on our team that might be lower propensity voters?
So I spent a while talking to the reporter, and the idea kind of came through in this Washington Post story. But what I said was, look, you know, elections regularly come down to 1 percentage point or less. And you sort of assume each side starts at 48%. But who those 48% are changes enormously. Overall turnout changes enormously. And if you look at, you know, 2016 compared to 2020, we had 300,000 more people vote in the presidential election. This huge number, even though the margin only changed by you know, it went from 23,000 one way to 20,000 the other way. So that's 43,000 swing. There were hundreds of thousands more voters. And that means you both have to focus on people who probably would vote Democrat if they voted, but they might not vote, and make sure that they vote and they vote for Democrats. And you need to talk to people who are ticket splitters, which is 1 in 10 voters in our state in 2018. And, you know, the swing voters, who are, I think, maybe less numerous, and make sure you're making the case to them. And the most powerful arguments, like the arguments around abortion and reproductive freedom and democracy and, you know, these basic ideas of freedom, those are actually persuasive both to people who need an argument for why it's worth voting and for people that might vote either way or split their ticket. So we look for those big uniting arguments that bring people together and push back against Republican extremism. And you don't write anyone off and you don't take anyone off the table. That's the only way to win in Wisconsin.
I'd like to take Derek Van Orden off the table. Could we work on the third CD? Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair. Van Orden is a Republican. Something of a carpetbagger in his own regard, to my opinion, but he's serving and he's playing moderate, but you know, the truth keeps outing. This man is anything but a moderate, and Brian Stile might be a little more entrusted or encrusted down in the first, but that is still a competitive race. We could turn the balance of the Congress here in the state of Wisconsin with a few strong electoral outcomes in the third and the first. Ben, how do we make that happen?
That is absolutely right. So the first thing is we have a primary strong field in the third. We have one candidate. I know there's other people thinking about running in the first congressional district. We need to make sure there's great candidates in the field. You can pick your lane as far as the primary goes. The Democratic Party will be neutral in the primary, but we are working already to organize voters in the first and third congressional districts to fire these MAGA Republicans. Brian Stile doesn't make a lot of headlines, but he votes with Donald Trump every step of the way, including against January 6th investigation, including against impeachment. He's an apologist for Donald Trump and Trumpism. Derek Van Orden is all that, plus screaming at teenagers, whether they're in the Capitol or the Prairie du Chien Library. He just does not represent our state. So look, help us flip the House, help us flip the Senate, help us flip the White House, and let's take a crack at the state legislature in 2024. There's a lot to do. I want folks to go to wiscdems.org and sign up to volunteer.
Well, that's excellent, Ben, because I don't have to ask you the website address then. Happy Hanukkah to your family, Ben. Thank you for making a little time on this Freaky Friday for the Devil's Advocates.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
I'm sure we'll talk again soon. It's almost like Wisconsin's an important state. Thank you, Ben. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us. Happy Friday to us all. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one friend of ours, Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. I understand he's something of a rainmaker up in here. That man can raise some capital, some investment in the Democratic Party causes of the great state of Wisconsin, and we will need the resources here. There's only a handful of states that really, really matter, and we absolutely are one of those states. And sometimes the maps change, but you know what? Wisconsin is never excluded from the battleground states, seemingly, near as I can tell. So I look forward to it, Dom. I am excited about what is to come here because I think we're going to uphold small d democracy. And I think it could be a little bit of a blue wave, Dom. And with new legislative maps, you know, I know it's wishful thinking at this point, but at least there's a plan and a lawsuit in place. With new legislative maps, man, that could change democracy in the state of Wisconsin for the first time in 12 years. So that's what I'm looking forward to in 2024. That's a New Year's resolution I could live with.
Change democracy. Hell, actually have an output that is reflective of the will of the people. Yes, that would be nice. But I mean, Ben makes a point, you know, certainly Tammy Baldwin, I know she's undefeated and all this, you know, you talk like that, it gets me a little concerned, you know, Hubby's going to come in with some money, you know, the megas are going to be out there supporting, they're going to try to drive him home.
And we know the NRS,
a lot of money spent. Yeah. NRSC supporting already. Hubby hasn't even spoke yet. He hasn't returned calls for comment.
Not so, with the press, but I bet he's talking to the rich guys. I bet he talked to the U-lines.
All the rich people, right? Just like Scott Mayer, he's a businessman from Franklin. He apparently is also going to be running, but we'll see what happens if there's actually a primary. But if this is as important as we assume, as the Post talks about and as Ben Wickler talks about, there's going to be a crap ton of money spent in the state. And the Dems and Baldwin, they're going to have to be able to serve and match and spend more. It's going to be a very expensive race.
I'm less clear that it's purely about the expenditure of money. I think that there are differing ways to take an approach. I think that Republicans, and you know, Dom, I see a lot of the world through the prism of talk radio because it's what I do for a living and it's all I care about and read about and think about because this is what I do. But I have known, and we have known, and we've talked about many times, the 81 right-wing talk radio outlets that were here in the state of Wisconsin in 2016. And unbeknownst to many of our liberal and progressive and Democratic and moderate friends that maybe don't live on the talk radio dial, Donald Trump does, and Ron Johnson did, and most Republicans do, and they benefit from all this free press. You know, we talk about what was the secret sauce, not you and I so much, other than the racism they threw at Mandela Barnes, but what was the secret sauce when a completely unacceptable, unstatesman-like guy like Ron Johnson wins re-election in the state of Wisconsin? How did that happen? Well, according to
Reed, he wasn't governing as much as going on every single right-wing talk radio show that would have him. We know he takes all callers, Curdy.
And it's free. And it's free. And Reed Epstein at the New York Times reported, running up to the election, 350 hours, I think he was up to, 350 hours worth of right-wing talk radio interviews for free. That's in addition to the ongoing ads. The ads. Right-wing talk radio doesn't wait till 3 weeks before the election to start making their point. They know the point of radio in those that are politically active, people like you, but people on the right as well that pay attention and they care about their issues and they're looking for guidance and they're looking, they want to hear these messages. And the Republicans start about a year out. And over the course of time, these repetitive radio messages, and you don't even hear them, you, Dom, because you don't even listen to traditional radio most of the time. And a lot of our friends don't hear them because they're on country sticks and they're out there on rural AMs. And you don't even know that this messaging campaign is kicking our ass over and over and over again. And this is not billions being invested relative to the cost of TV flights down the dial, down the end, last 3 weeks of the elective campaign. This is cheap. They're doing it on the cheap. Radio is a very inexpensive medium. Don't have to transfer these beautiful pictures of guys like us down. I mean, it would change the whole dynamic if they did, but
I mean, you know,
they utilize radio. They use the host. They use the ads. They use the platforms. Well, here's what's changed. You're listening to it. This radio network did not exist prior. And I don't think this will go without impact in the next elective campaign, Dom. You know, in the third, I tease, air quotes, Ben Wickler. The third, I care a lot about the third. I went to college in the third. Me and you, we were roommates. We became buddies in the third. That's La Crosse. That's southwestern Wisconsin. And Ron Kind, former DA of La Crosse, although he wasn't the guy that put me away, Ron Kind served admirably, sort of moderately, sort of a blue dog guy. But now we got Derek Van Orden in the third.
Oh, man.
But you know, Civic Media made a commitment. Sage Wild, the owner of Civic Media, made a commitment to the third CD. I could point, but he bought them. And there are five Civic Media talk radio stations playing in the third CD right now. We got two playing in the first right now, covering Brian Stiles' district as best we can. So you got the tools. It's time to use them. Somebody built a warm, fuzzy blanket of coverage, Dom. Others might call it a Death Star, but I like to call it a warm, fuzzy blanket of
coverage. Are you calling yourself a tool, Crudy? Are you a tool?
Oh, just like you are. Absolutely, I'm a tool. I am a hammer. And talk radio is my passion, as you well know. And this is what we do. And we have fun here. And we enjoy ourselves. And we get to know people. I mean, we're flyover country for everybody else. But we live here. We go out there. We meet the people. We talk to them every day on the radio. I love this state, man. I wear this red Badger hat proudly. It's not a MAGA hat. Don't misinterpret those looking on the streets.
You blend in well at the Trump rallies, Crudy.
I wore this red Badger hat all across the nation, man. People love the state of Wisconsin. A, we know how to party. B, we got great sports teams. My Badgers are going to beat number one Arizona tomorrow in Tucson. You heard it here first. I made the Marquette prediction last week, and I'm making the Arizona win prediction money line. And, I'm just saying, man, Badgers are bust. This is the only state that matters to me. Shout out WCPT, Chicago, KTNF, Minneapolis. And all our friends all across Wisconsin listening on the Civic Media warm, fuzzy blanket of coverage.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel, the host of Morning Cannoli, our weekly review of significant events in the areas of law, government, and justice. Join us this Saturday, the 9th of December, for our 75th show. We'll begin unpacking Donald Trump's statements on the rule of law and what could happen in his America. Join us then.
Morning Cannoli with James Santel, every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.